What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking about how to stop tracking and start eating mindfully. And even just writing that title and saying it right now, it makes it sound like that has to ultimately be your goal. And I will start by saying it doesn't. And we're going to dive a little bit more into that in a second. But I almost got triggered by my own title there, as if that is ultimately what you have to do. But yes, I get this question a lot. Hey, Jordan, how am I ever going to stop tracking? You know, I'd like to ultimately get to a place where I don't have to track. I want to eat intuitively. Some iteration of that question. And I will say it's difficult sometimes to make content about it just because it's highly individualized. There are definitely some general principles and best practices and practical tips, and I'm going to do my best, absolutely. But there is not some one-size-fits-all playbook that you follow step one through step five, and then you arrive at this utopia where you don't track, you never think about food, and you just ride off into the sunset maintaining your happiest, healthiest physique without any effort at all. I'm not really sure that exists for most people. I think, you know, we can talk about moving along a spectrum here, which we'll get into in a second. So we're going to break the podcast down into three parts. The first is just setting the scene. I think there are some things I kind of want to get off my chest about this topic before we jump into some of the practical tips, which will be the second part. And then I'll do kind of like a summary and some overall thoughts at the end here. And I'll try to move through this as logically as possible, but I just put some word vomit notes, so I might bop around a little bit. And so let's set the scene with a couple of points here. And the first is that when it comes to let's call it a nutrition strategy, how you think about food, what strategies you employ to maintain a healthy lifestyle, the point is to find whatever strategy feels sustainable to you and allows you to live your happiest, most fulfilling life with a strong, healthy body. Like there are, and there are many ways to do that, right? The goal is not universally to stop tracking, eat intuitively. The goal is to find a strategy that lets you live your happiest, most fulfilling life with a strong, healthy body. And there are many ways to do that. And they all take some work. I feel like a lot of people come to this, kind of bring this question to me, bring this question to the table with an element of, I wish it didn't take so much work. What I'm doing right now feels like it's taking a lot of work. And I want to get to a point where it doesn't feel like it's taking so much work. And I, by the way, I sympathize. I think if you're somebody who is feeling like you're, the strategies you are utilizing are taking a lot of work such that they don't feel sustainable, you absolutely should address that. But I want to get this right out there right now. It's, you know, somewhere between unrealistic and unlikely, you get to a point where you just never think about anything ever again. And it takes no work to maintain your happiest, healthiest, leanest, strongest physique. And, you know, you don't have to worry or ever make, you know, trade-offs, or that just feels idealistic to me. I want people to get to a point where it's like, hey, like, it's okay that it's going to take some work. The idea that you might actually have to make concessions and trade-offs and compromises in your life to maintain a healthy physique, like, is normal. And it's normal because of the environment we live in. You know, it's, you know, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but it's not actually intuitive to do the things you'd have to do in today's air quote obesogenic environment to maintain a healthy physique. Like you are going to be prompted with, you know, more easy access to hyperpalatable, yummy food, cheap DoorDash, you know. And so we are just living in an environment where maintaining a healthy physique is going to take some intent. It's going to be something that you do on purpose. And so I know if you're sitting there right now listening and you're like, hey, but the strategy I'm using feel like they're taking an unsustainable amount of work, I'd like to address that. I think you should address that, but I don't think you should have it in your head that you're going to get to a point where it never takes any intent or work or cognitive effort or restraint. It will take some amount of that in all likelihood. And the second point, we're still setting the scene here, is there's nothing inherently wrong with tracking forever in some way. I think when people, you know, get into tracking or they hear about tracking, they hear some of the perspectives around tracking, that tracking's disordered. And I think, to me, you know, if you just say tracking is disordered, I don't agree with that statement, because tracking, to me, the act of tracking anything at all is a spectrum. On one end of the spectrum, you track every morsel to the gram. You have all three macro targets. You track every restaurant meal. You bring a food scale with you, right? Let's assume the most extreme version of tracking, right? And you can move along a spectrum, maybe going from that version to somebody who uses ranges instead of, you know, specific macro targets. Maybe to somebody who just tracks calories and protein. Maybe to somebody who ultimately doesn't track everything. Maybe you're like, you know what? I'm not going to track my spinach anymore. I'm going to, you know, track 95% of it. I'm going to not track green leafy vegetables. And maybe that's moving along the spectrum to something that feels more sustainable. Maybe you go from that person to, you know, not always tracking, meaning like you might track some days and not other days, or during some circumstances and not during other circumstances. Maybe you move from that person to somebody who eats mindfully / intuitively, whatever, and you don't track at all, and you know, use maybe what you learn tracking to make decisions that ultimately, you know, and live a lifestyle that ultimately allows you to kind of maintain a healthy body and live a happy, fulfilling life and all that stuff. But there is nothing inherently wrong with having some element of tracking in your life forever. I feel like that's something that people need to hear, because I think people are like, oh, I've been tracking for a long time. I should try and get off this. It's like, should you? Like, you should if that's what feels right to you. But I feel like that's something people hear as if they think they should do that. I have to tell you, I know a lot of people that track in some way forever, and it is incredibly sustainable for them. They feel good doing that, and it is a tool that lets them live a really great life. And that is absolutely possible. So if you're someone who's tracking, don't stop tracking because you think it's something you have to do, right? You should be making these decisions based on what you feel in your heart is what is sustainable and best for yourself long term. Now, in this podcast, I'm speaking directly to people who are currently tracking, right? And likely have been for some time, right? If you've never tracked and you want to jump right into like mindful eating, I guess it's possible, like principle-based eating, you know, work on lifestyle habits. You can do a lot of good for your health and fitness without tracking your calories, for sure. But I think I might, you know, 99.9% of the time say that some amount of tracking your food, it doesn't need to be every morsel to the gram with all three macros. I'm just saying some element of quantification. It could be just keeping a food journal, right? I mean, that is on one end of the tracking spectrum. You're just writing down what you eat. Some form of objective quantification is helpful for a period of time. It can be incredibly educational. So that's who I'm talking to in this podcast, people who have been tracking for a while and are feeling like, oh, I'd either like to, you know, get off tracking or track less or track differently or eat mindfully or intuitively or not do this anymore, whatever, something like that. Now, again, I'm going to give you some practical tips in a bit on how to do this, but it's not a playbook. It's not a step one, step two, step three, step four, and you know, you wipe your hands of tracking and you ride off into the sunset. I'm not even sure that's a thing. I'm gonna give you my best tips, maybe different ways to think about doing this. Again, I will give you some ideas of how practically to get started, but it's highly individual. So there is no like, I've thought a million times about making an ebook or something of like, hey, this is exactly how you get off tracking. But I've just seen it go, you know, several different ways. And I've seen people respond to different ways of communication and maybe jump over certain steps. And other people go a little bit slower and everything in between. So I'm going to do my best. I think it's a helpful topic, but don't assume it's going to be exactly the same for you as it might be for somebody else. The first practical tip is going to sound obvious, but it's a small part, if not a large part, of my overwhelming thoughts on this. And my first point says, do the same shit. Same habits, same principles. Now, I'm sure in the beginning, when you began tracking, the simple act of having to track something was enough to change your behavior. When I have a client who comes to me who either, maybe they've tracked in the past, but they are coming to me not currently tracking, and we begin tracking, which isn't everybody, but if that's the case, immediately their behaviors change, right? They know that they have to put it into the app, and the act of having to do that or the knowledge that they're going to have to do that changes their behavior. They eat differently. They build meals differently. They have different portions. Maybe they graze a little bit less. The act of having to track something changes their behavior. However, if you've been doing this for a while, I bet you that's not happening anymore. I bet you that you have enough good habits in place that you eat similarly day to day, that you have similar meals and a similar day and a similar life with a similar meal structure. I bet you the act of having to put in the app doesn't have that same power over changing your behavior as it did in the beginning. And I think that this do the same stuff, like if someone's like, how do I stop tracking, right? The answer is do the same thing when you're not tracking as when you are tracking. And I'll talk a little bit later about, you know, what to do if you feel like that's not your lived experience. When you stop tracking, you live completely differently. But the thing that you, the place you want to get to is that tracking is not changing your behavior. That your behavior is based on, you know, habits and lifestyle adjustments that you know are going to lead to a healthy lifestyle. Things like starting each meal or building each meal around a protein and a plant. Things like getting on a meal schedule that you stick to most of the time. You know, if you're putting your head down the pillow tonight and I knock on the door and I pop in, that's creepy. And I say, you know what, Jerome, you know, when are you eating tomorrow? You should have a rough idea. I'm not saying you need to eat the same freaking food at the exact same minute of the day. But if you go into each day without any idea when you're going to eat because it's total chaos and total, you know, making it up on the fly, that's not going to go well, right? So that's independent of tracking. These are principles that you should be getting in place so that tracking is something you layer on top of these good habits, not something that, you know, in the beginning, it might help call, it might be kind of an impetus, a stimulus for you to work on these habits. But over the long term, those habits should kind of, those foundational habits, a protein and a plant at every meal, you know, getting on some sort of meal schedule. I personally eat 4 meals per day. I eat at, you know, between 8 and 9. I eat between noon and 1. I eat between, let's say, 3 and 4. And then I eat between, you know, 6 and 7, let's say. Those can change within an hour, but that's what I do. I eat 4 meals a day at similar-ish times, so I don't necessarily need to think about it every day. I have a plan going into the day, and at this point, it's subconscious. So, you know, at this point, you're likely at a point where you can do this stuff without tracking. You just don't know it yet, right? You're likely a person who has habits around exercise and movement. You're somebody who says, hey, I take the dogs for a few walks per day. I go out for a half hour walk to start the day. I do my 2 days of cardio. I'm not saying all of those. I'm saying some, you know, one of those or a couple of those. Like, most of you have been tracking for long enough and hopefully have been working on these foundational habits alongside tracking that actually, if you peel back the tracking, if you take away the tracking and you just left the habits that you've been doing, you'd actually do just fine. And I'm going to hammer that point home throughout this entire podcast because 99 out of 100 times I've helped somebody stop tracking. It's just giving them the confidence, showing them that they actually do have a lot of these habits in check and getting them to be confident and believe that if they stopped tracking, they could still keep doing what they've always been doing and maintain where they're at with ease or with greater ease than they give themselves credit for at the beginning. The next tip is, dude, you can still use a food scale. There's going to be somebody who's up in arms about me telling people they can still use a food scale as if, again, the food scale is inherently disordered. Dude, I haven't tracked in about 5 years. I use the food scale every day. I tracked for so long that I know I want roughly 8 ounces of chicken with my meal. I know that my oatmeal, I'm looking for around 2 servings. I'm looking for around 80 grams. I know that when I have peanut butter, that it's probably a good idea for me to weigh that out. That if I'm making a protein shake, you know, I know roughly, I tell you right now, I roughly have 240 grams of milk, roughly 40 grams of whey, roughly 500 grams of frozen fruit, you know, roughly 20 grams of chia seeds, because I know that that's going to give me the nutrition I'm looking for at that meal. Now, I'm not tracking it, but I think people glorify this idea of eyeballing. Like, I don't give a shit if I, like when I take the Greek yogurt out of the fridge, could I reasonably eyeball a portion? Yeah, maybe. But to me, I don't even want to challenge myself with eyeballing it. Now, I might eyeball it in circumstances where I don't have a food scale, but I know that I like 500 grams of yogurt in a sitting. I like that portion. I know that gets me like 50 grams of protein for the meal. It's only like 250 to 300 calories. And it lets me, you know, set the foundation for that meal. Like, there's nothing wrong with continuing to use a food scale. You've been weighing stuff for a long time. I bet you, whether you know it or not, you know so much about the portion sizes that are going to keep you in the ballpark of the calorie intake you're looking for, the ballpark of the protein that you're trying to get, the ballpark of the fiber that you're trying to get throughout the day. Keep using the food scale. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, it goes into this kind of bucket of do the same shit. Like, there's no reason you can't use a food scale. In the comfort of your own home, when it's not feeling disordered, again, you know, as I say this, there's always an umbrella of, hey, if the food scale is triggering for you, fine, don't use it, no problem. But I feel like people are like, assume that when they stop tracking, they also have to stop using the food scale. I use the food scale every day. Are you going to stop using a food scale to like bake a cake? It's not a perfect analogy, but the reason you use a food scale to bake a cake is because you know you need a certain amount of certain ingredients. And you can apply that same logic to some degree with meal building. I know that I'm looking for 30 to 60 grams of protein with a meal. I know that I'm looking for, me personally, somewhere between 600 and 800 calories per meal. And you've likely been tracking for long enough that you have a lot of these staple meals in your arsenal that you know in your head, roughly the food scale portion sizes that will get you roughly, I use the word roughly because obviously we're not tracking, trying to be mega precise. We're trying to accumulate a lot of roughly in the ballparks to get us roughly in the ballpark of maintenance. And so, yeah, I've got to tell you, you are likely in a place where you can get in the ballpark of calories and protein and fiber if you keep the same meal structure and meal composition and you use a food scale. I'm not saying you have to, but I want you to know you have my permission, not that you need it, but to hear it from someone that the food scale is an incredible tool that you don't need to throw away just because you decided you're going to stop tracking. And on that note, you can still use a body weight scale. Again, slightly separate issue, I guess, because, you know, whether or not you have a relationship with the scale that feels like you want to use it, but we can highlight the potential benefit of using the scale as a tool to see how you're doing. If you are like, hey, I'm going to stop tracking, but I don't want to gain all the weight back, it's like, yeah, great, keep weighing yourself. And if we see body weight start to trend up, we can address it. Address it might mean go back to tracking. It might not mean that. It might mean, hey, we're going to decrease the portion size of peanut butter in the afternoon, or hey, we're going to, you know, increase our steps a little bit, or whatever. There's a million different ways to address that without tracking. You're just decreasing the food you're eating in some tangible way that you can articulate. And so if you want to, keep weighing in as a way to acknowledge how you're doing. Now, I want to say maintenance, being at maintenance, probably means allowing for or mentally wrapping your head around the fact that your weight's going to fluctuate a few pounds in either direction. So if you're 150 pounds and then you stop tracking and you know, the next week you're 151 and then you're 152 and you're back down to 150 and then it's 151, I don't want any single pound of weight gain to be like, oh my God, I'm gaining weight, I have to start tracking again. It's like, chill out. Maintenance means over months, your weight might fluctuate up 2 pounds, down 2 pounds, up 3 pounds, down 3 pounds. That's still, to me, part of like one of the most important parts of being at maintenance is accepting that there might be, most likely will be, several pounds in either direction that your weight will fluctuate. Next tip is consider, or I would strongly consider, starting slow. Just take one day out of the week and don't track, right? Let's say, all right, on Wednesdays, I'm going to delete the app from my phone, or I'm going to move it to another page on my phone, so it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, or I'm just not going to open it. One day per week, practice, right? Maybe pick a day that you don't have any like big plan scheduled. You're like, I can practice this whole do the same shit that Jordan says. I can practice that. I can practice how that feels on Wednesday and next week on Tuesday, whatever. Like, I got to tell you guys, 99% of the time I'm going through this with a client, I know in my heart, because I've been watching and getting to know you for a long time, that I know that you're going to do just fine if you stop tracking. But you need to be the one who believes it. And you having positive experiences, good days, a day where you're like, huh, I guess I do kind of eat a lot of the same stuff, or at least in the same way, and with the additional help of the food scale, I guess it isn't so hard to get myself into a very similar ballpark. Like, most of this stuff is you getting out of your own head, needing the, you know, your perfectionist mindset to win out and exactly hit your calories for the day. Like, most of you who've been tracking for a very long time, or for long enough that you feel like, you know, you've been doing it for a while, most of you can do just fine if you just stopped tracking. If you can, now I will get to this discussion of what if that isn't the case? What if when you stop tracking, your behaviors dramatically change. But most of the time, it's about you racking up some little wins to build some confidence. And sometimes, in my opinion, one of the best ways to do that is just start with one day out of the week. Maybe build up to a couple of days, right? And that moves to, you know, our next tip here, which is a strategy that I absolutely love. I got to tell you, I absolutely love. And this isn't just a strategy for someone who's looking to transition from tracking all the time to tracking none of the time. This might be a strategy that all of a sudden makes tracking at all stages for all people and all goals really sustainable, like really sustainable. It's called track when it's convenient and F it when it's not. And the irony is, and I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant about this one thing, and then we'll tie it back into the transition to eating mindfully. It's that most people, if you ask them why they quit tracking, you're like, oh, somebody's like, hey, I quit tracking. If you ask them why they quit tracking, they will tell you about a scenario that was difficult to track, right? So it was difficult to track when I went out to my sister's wedding. It was difficult to track when I went out to dinner at a restaurant. It was difficult to track when we ordered in. It was difficult to track at the Sunday barbecue. And those are the things that ultimately make people feel flustered and overwhelmed and stressed out, because it's really tough to actually know what you're eating. Or it's tougher to know exactly what you're eating. And so people quit. But nobody is like, you know what? In the comfort of my own home, when nobody was pressuring me and I was just making my own breakfast in my own kitchen by myself, that was the reason I stopped tracking. Now, I don't want to be dogmatic. Like, you know, maybe there's somebody out there that's like, yeah, even doing that was quite triggering for me. No problem. I'll be fair. That's totally a scenario that can happen. But most people are going to tell you a story about a scenario where it was difficult to track, right? No food scale, no control over the food, maybe no control over the menu. And having, you know, several of those scenarios led them to say, F it. This principle is basically, it's called track when it's convenient, F it when it's not. What I mean is that track when you're in the comfort of your own home. Use the food scale, track to the gram, you know, because it is easy and it's convenient. It's not challenging to put the yogurt on the food scale, tear it, and then take some out. It's not complicated to put put your plate with a piece of bread on it and then start putting slices of turkey on it. It's not complicated. It's not challenging. It's not tedious. I don't believe that it is for most people, is what I'll say. And so when you're in those scenarios, which should be most of the time, because if you're eating out most of your meals, then tracking's not your problem. Eating out for most of your meals is going to make every single strategy. It's going to make weight loss. It's going to weight loss maintenance way more challenging. If you can track at home when it's convenient for you, let's call it 80% of the meals, then you can take those 20% and you can use that as practice to do what I would call principle-based eating, right? Just practice to survive without the numbers. Use it as a challenge. Think of going to that Sunday barbecue as a challenge for you to see what you know about nourishing your body and living a happy, healthy life without the numbers. And for somebody who's been tracking, we tie that into this kind of transition off tracking. This might be a great experience for you to test what you know and for you to feel like you have a safety net, because 80% of the time you're still tracking as normal. But when you have those, it's almost like life is presenting you with an opportunity to practice not tracking, because it's presenting you with a challenging environment to track. And so instead of going through the frustrating challenge of trying to track a Sunday barbecue, you might in that moment practice some sort of meal or plate building strategy. Maybe you say, hey, I'm gonna have two plates of food, and both plates of food are gonna be filled with half protein and a quarter, and you know, whatever, 2/3 vegetables and protein, whatever. You're gonna practice something else that doesn't involve specific tracking. And I have found this to be, it's summer right now. I have a lot of clients that they're down by the beach. They're on they go on little trips. They go on longer trips. It's like, cool. When you're on these trips, when you're away for the weekend, when you're down the shore and you're presented with a moment where tracking kind of sucks, you're like going out to eat, a friend's house, a potluck, don't track. Don't track and challenge yourself to see what you can do, what you know about nourishing your body without the numbers. And I bet you most people, if you go into that, if you're going to a barbecue and I'm saying, all right, you know, Kathy, what if you were tracking, what would you eat? And you're like, well, I'd get some shrimp. There's probably going to be some ribs. There might be some chicken. I really like this pasta salad, but I'll make sure I get some you know, a hearty serving of grilled vegetables on the side. I'm not going to drink too much. I'll make sure I drink a lot of water. Like, yeah, Kathy, freaking do that. That sounds like an amazing plan. You know, like most people, like if you ask them what they're going to eat during the time where they're tracking, they're going to give you a strategy that they can do without tracking. That's still going to go really well. And again, it's not always perfect. Sometimes it's about getting out of your shell, challenging yourself, and then learning from those experiences. And if you're learning from those experiences in a kind of starting slow manner, meaning maybe one day a week, or maybe just once in a while when life lends an opportunity to you to practice this, and the other 80% of the time you continue tracking when it's really convenient, that's a really safe environment for you to practice and build some confidence of not needing the app to make an intelligent decision, you know? You know, the analogy is like your habits are the bumpers. Like even if you find out you suck at bowling, if you can put up enough bumpers far enough down the lane, you decrease the likelihood of getting a gutter ball. If you say, you know what, I get 10,000 steps. That's a habit that I get. You're like, I know how to get 30 to 50 grams of protein with every meal. You're like, I know how to build a plate of food that has a hearty portion of protein and plants. You're like, I know that I eat 3 times a day and I have a nighttime snack. You're like, I know that I wake up every morning with 32 ounces of water. You're like, I know that I lift weights 3 times a week. It's like, if you can get all those habits in place, you're setting up a lot of these bumpers that are further and further down the lane that are going to decrease your chance of getting a gutter ball. Because they are, it's like a safety net. It's like hedging your bet. Any of those analogies works fine here. And I just think that if you are, and that brings us to the last point. The last point is do that stuff. Work on those principles. Get that stuff in check while you are tracking. While you are tracking. Tracking is not ultimately tracking is like data accumulation. Tracking is quantification. It's not, in some ways, it's not actually how you lost weight. How you lost weight was the decisions you made. I mean, tracking allowed you to maybe on average be more precise, but it's tracking maybe made you adjust your portion size, or it enlightened you to how little protein you were eating, so you increased protein, or how little fiber you're eating, so you increased fiber. Like tracking in an indirect way isn't why you lost weight. Tracking was the quantifying it. Like if you wanted to save more money, you can say, well, I saved more money because I started keeping a budget. It's like, well, keeping a budget helped you do the things you needed to do to save money. You actually saved money because you stopped going out to the club and buying a table every weekend. You stopped, you started saving money because you went through your subscriptions and canceled a whole bunch of stuff. Like those are the actual actions that helped you save money. In the same way, like having that basic meal principle, you know, having a meal schedule, going, making sure you have an exercise routine that feels sustainable, acknowledging what foods are more satiating, maybe eating less hyperpalatable junk food. Like those are the things that if you keep doing are going to lead to success even when you're not tracking. And you should be practicing that stuff, right? Practicing a protein in a plant, getting on a food schedule you can stick to most days, building some standard go-to meals, building a food shopping habit, you know, optimizing your environment in such that you make, you know, you decrease the friction between you and good decisions. You increase the friction between you and, you know, less good decisions. You know, you eat more fruits and more vegetables, less num-nums and snacking, less grazing, maybe bigger meals. Maybe you stopped intermittent fasting, you started eating breakfast, or maybe you stopped eating breakfast and started intermittent fasting. Like you should be doing this stuff while you track so that after a year of doing this, you look at it, you're like, holy crap, tracking is just something I've layered on top of my incredibly healthy lifestyle habits. It is, at the end of the day, down to those habits. If you are somebody that when you stop tracking, your lifestyle dramatically changes, then you didn't do it the right way, or you modified your lifestyle too much during that phase. You went too far away from what your non-negotiables in life. You know, people who stop tracking and gain all the weight back were either doing something too extreme, weren't working on foundational habits, or they were conceding on certain non-negotiables that they knew they didn't want for the long term. You know, this is like a lot of people that are like, when I lost weight, I got 25,000 steps. And then afterwards, I stopped doing that and I gained all the weight back. It's like, yeah, because you were doing a thing that you knew you did not want to do forever. Or you're like, I cut alcohol for my fat loss phase, which, by the way, alcohol, that's a great idea. But like, if you know when fat loss is over, you're going to go back to drinking, you know, 10 drinks a week. Like, don't be surprised if you regain weight. So it's a matter of do this stuff while you track. And if you are finding that you're the person when you stop tracking, you live a completely different life, then I would go back and look at what strategy you were using to lose fat in the first place. Two things I would look at. One is, do you actually want to do the things you need to do to lose weight? Because I'll be the first one to tell you, if you want to be 10 pounds heavier so that you can eat a couple hundred more calories and have way more food flexibility and a drink on the weekend without needing to think about it, yo, you have my blessing, and I will give you a big old hug. I think that's awesome. So do you actually want to make the trade-offs that you need to make to sustain whatever weight loss you're trying to sustain for the long term? If I told you, you got to keep living the way you were living when you were tracking. You can not track, but you have to keep living that way. You'd be like, well, I don't want to do that. It's like, okay, well then either let's find some habits, adjustments that feel more sustainable for you, or let's adjust our expectations and say, maybe you don't want to be 140 pounds. Maybe 150 pounds gives you the extra calories that gives you and affords you the kind of extra flexibility and lifestyle that you really do want, right? And so moving to my overall thoughts here, what do I have? I got 5 bullet points left. Let's get this done in a couple of minutes. Bullet number one, most people in the scenario would be fine not tracking, they just don't know it yet. And only by taking off the training wheels will you realize you can ride. And I think a lot of people, you know, need to keep using a food scale, should really consider continuing to use a food scale, should really consider continuing to weigh themselves, maybe should start with just one day of not tracking per week, maybe should practice in those difficult scenarios. What do they know? What have they learned about building meals, satiating, you know, and satisfying meals, right? And so I think, again, this is my experience with my clients, and I will say that's a real subset, because obviously that's somebody that I have worked with for quite some time, and I know that we have built these habits. I know that we have focused on what I know will ultimately be those bumpers that keep us from rolling gutter balls later. And so if that isn't something you've been doing, then that is what I would do so that you can ultimately get rid of those. Training wheels is a weird, I don't really like training wheels. Training wheels implies kind of like an easier version, something that you ultimately have to upgrade or kind of graduate from. And that's not necessarily the case. You know, I have so many people in my life that I know that track or quantify their food in some way, and they do it with a completely happy and healthy mindset. It's not triggering. It's sustainable. So I just want that to be something that's in the cards for you. I don't like, don't let somebody else glorify this idea of not tracking and make you feel disordered about tracking in some way if you truly, truly, truly feel good about it. There's nothing wrong with that. It's fine. Cool. If your habits dramatically change whenever you don't track, I don't think you've established the type of habits you'll ultimately need to not track and maintain the weight loss. And the last note is me just, I can already tell, I was word vomiting on the keyboard here. It says, keep using the food scale, keep food shopping and setting up your environment for that same way. Keep eating, you know, similar meals. Keep weighing yourself if your head's in a good place with that. Keep up with your exercise. Keep building meals the same way and start slow. Maybe take an intentional day off per week where you don't open the app, or letting life present you with opportunities to practice eating based on what you know about your body's needs and what you've learned this whole time. So hopefully that was helpful. There is not always necessarily a step-by-step. I do think having just one day where you don't open the app and see how that goes might literally just be the gateway you need to build the confidence to be like, oh, actually, if I just keep doing the same shit, I'm going to be fine. And I think for a lot of people, that is the case. But yeah, not everyone. Some people are probably going to either want to or have to quantify in some way, shape, or form to maintain a certain level of health. And I don't think there's anything disordered about that if you choose that that's right for you. Absolutely. And I will say, you know, I'll end this podcast with what my experience has been like. I started tracking my calories around 20 years old. I probably tracked, let's say, you know, 90% of the meals I ate between 20 and 26 years old. I'm 33 years old. I haven't tracked probably since I met Jenna, ironically. And my weight has fluctuated. I actually probably gained 10 pounds over the last 7 years, but that was me recalibrating what I'm willing to give up to be certain levels of leanness. And my life where I'm 180 is not nearly as fun as my life where I'm 190. And so that recalibration has been a very happy one. But I've realized that if I keep using the food scale and I get in the ballpark of my calories by letting my foundational lifestyle habits lead the way, you know, walking a lot, exercising, building meals that have a protein and a plant, not eating too many treats, not grazing, all of that stuff. Those are foundational habits that, again, not everyone's going to have the same, but those, a lot of them are going to work great for everybody. And so that is what I would focus on is, are your foundational habits in check that are going to, you know, keep you, you know, hedge the downside, that are going to raise the ceiling of outcome, or sorry, raise the floor of outcomes should you remove tracking from your life? If you don't have them, yeah, then you're not ready. And I think if you don't have them, that's really what you should be focused on, whether or not you ultimately ever feel like getting off tracking or not. Tracking is going to be its most beneficial when you do it because you want to, not because you feel you have to. All right. I'll end on that note, guys. If you ever want to reach out and talk about this, it's certainly something that I think, you know, is passionate, is something I'm passionate about, because I do think it's a question that is kind of within this bucket of how do I ultimately live my happiest life? And I really do enjoy those sorts of discussions. All right. I'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.